Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, we have presented to us here the sharp contrast, sharp, between the godly and the ungodly, between the Christian and the non-Christian, between sinners and saints, sharp contrast. And anyone reading this psalm, that looking at these two ways of life, ought to be able to see clearly which is the most desirable. And yet it is not true. Let's begin then by looking at the Christian man, or the godly man, presented in this psalm, again beginning with the word blessed. So important to understand blessed. It means being under the favor of God. It means godly contentment, peace in the soul. Blessed, or peaceful, grace, is that man, which includes men and women and young people, the person. And the psalmist begins with what this person refuses. This is what the Christian man, person, shuns, absolutely refuses. First of all, the counsel of the ungodly. The world philosophy. And what is that? It is selfism. Selfism is the religion of the world, particularly emphasized in the New Age movement, emphasized in every false religion. Self-standards, self-indulgence, self as God. The Christian shuns that counsel of the ungodly. The counsel of the ungodly bears heavy influence upon people, upon Christians. We are to refuse it and to shun it. And it is a rejection of God's authority. So the Christian in trouble or difficulty should not go running to the ungodly counsel. A Christian who needs counsel should seek out biblical counselors, biblical counseling, who have a hold on the truth. Ungodly counsel drives the person deeper into self. Biblical counseling takes us out of self into truth, which brings healing. How important this is today. and how important it is for us to help young people, because they accept the counsel of their peers and their environment, and they need our help. And we help them by an example. We refuse to walk in that counsel of the ungodly. Now, the second thing he shuns or refuses is the company of the ungodly. Well, you say, Bill, how do you do that? We have to live in a society, and we're surrounded all day long, whether it's school or work or neighborhood, by the company of the ungodly. What do? Isolate? No, the Bible doesn't teach isolation. We're not to try to withdraw in a monastery or in a convent. We are to live where we are. And how does this work? Well, let's say you're a student. Let's say you're in high school. And you're assigned classrooms, sports activities with the ungodly students. And you're with them. That does not mean you choose them to socialize with. You don't make them your close friends. That is, you don't keep company with them. The same thing if you're in business and you're in a neighborhood. You be a good neighbor, but you don't choose them for your socialization, your social times. You don't go along with them, as it says, to stand in the path of sinners and go with their flow of life. The godly man refuses them. A third thing mentioned here is sitting in the seat of the scornful. And I think it's interesting the verbs that are used. He says walking and standing and now sitting. And the sitting means that you're really with them. The seat of the scornful. And what kind of people are these? Well, they're critical, they're negative, they're angry, they're unhappy, they ridicule Christ, they tear down Christians, they persecute Christians, and we are to refuse their company on a social basis. We can't always escape, but we must not choose that way of life. Now, for me, as a young person in high school, I was guilty of the first two. I did not refuse the counsel of the ungodly. I accepted my peers as being very knowledgeable. I made heroes of the wrong athletes, and they influenced my thinking. I kept company with sinners who influenced my life. I don't remember ever sitting with scornful people who were really anti-God and anti-Christ, but certainly the first two had a very, very bad effect on my life. Let's do all we can in our own life and help young people we know to refuse the counsel and the company. Well, now the psalmist turns to a positive thing. If this is what the godly man refuses, what is it he chooses? Now we have that sharp word that brings us the contrast, B-U-T, the conjunction, but. The Word of God is His delight. The way out of temptation is to have something better. I have better in the Word of God than the counsel of the ungodly or the company of sinners. The delight is the joy in the Word of God. The strength that comes knowing God's Word. The communion of fellowship with the Lord in His Word. It is our love, and it is the truth, and it counteracts the garbage of the ungodly counsel. And along with that, we're saying then that the Word of God is His counsel. This is where we get direction. This is where we solve problems. This is where we learn truth. And if we don't have the Word of God, we live a lie. The whole life is wasted in a lie because we do not have the truth. So the godly man chooses the Word of God as his delight. He chooses the Word of God as his counsel, and the Word of God as his occupation. In His Word, he meditates day and night. What a wonderful thing to have the Word of God flowing into our life, to meditate, to think about that day after day, night after night, as our occupation. Now, aside from the message, I just want to insert here five approaches to the Word of God. As you come to the Word of God to read and study for yourself, what should be the approach? Five things. Number one, prayerful dependence. You don't presume to have the ability to discern or have insight into spiritual truth on your own. And I read something really fine this week that has stuck with me. The statement said, when you open your Bible, ask the author to open your heart. The author is the Holy Spirit. And he must do that, or it's a closed book to us. Prayerful dependence. Second, accept the authority of the Scripture. Live under, not above or alongside. Under. Now, this past week, the Roman Catholic Church has come out with a decree, which is not new, but just saying that all religions are not equal to them. That they are the one true church with apostolic succession, and those who do not accept the authority of the Pope are not true churches. Well, the problem with that is that they do not accept the Bible only as final authority, but they accept the Bible and human tradition. Christian Science uses the Bible, but accepts the writings of Mary Baker Eddy Patterson Frye as authority. Mormons use the Bible, but accept as authority alongside the Book of Mormon. It's absolutely vital for us this morning to accept the authority of the Scriptures as final and complete, and have no other human writing or authority to live under. If we do, we go astray totally. Thirdly, we come with, first, prayerful dependence, accept authority. Thirdly, to believe the truth. You believe it. It's guidance. It's strength. It's light. It's life. Fourthly, we use it. Use it daily. Apply it daily. And in the fifth place, tell it. So if we want to follow the psalmist's direction in verse 2, then what he chooses is the Word of God is his delight, the Word of God is his counsel, the Word of God as his occupation. And it keeps him from the problem of the refusing. Now, thirdly then, what he experiences is told us in verse 3. What does this kind of man experience? He experiences life, the abundant life that Jesus spoke of, the fullness of life, in that he has security like a tree planted by water that becomes really well rooted and grounded and is not tossed about by every storm that comes along. He is secure. He is rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And as Paul said it, he's established in the faith. And he doesn't follow everybody that comes to town and toots a loud horn about some new sensationalism. He remains in the Word of God, security. What a great thing. I just glory in being people with people who are stable and steady and established. You can count on them. That's the person in the Word of God. Secondly, he has a fruitful life. He brings forth his fruit in its season. That is, his life counts for something. His life is encouraging to others. And he bears witness with the qualities of life. What he refuses, what he chooses, what he experiences. Now let's consider the other person, the ungodly man, whom we would say certainly walks in the counsel of the ungodly, stands with sinners, sits with the seat of the scornful. But what does he experience? Verse 4. The ungodly are not so. Strong, direct statement there. Are not so. But what are they like? They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about that eastern threshing floor where the grain would be harvested and brought to the threshing floor, placed in a type of blanket, where they would get on the corners of the blanket and toss the grain in the air. The husk or the chaff would blow away. The grain would fall. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. It's worthless. That life is a wasted life. What a tragic thing that a human being can live this life and have it absolutely wasted because it's devoid of spiritual or eternal value. Tragic. Secondly, that life fails the judgment, verse 5, shall not stand in the judgment. Failure does not qualify, is not worthy of God. What a tragic experience. Now then, the psalmist discusses the eternal destinies of these two ways of life. In verse 6, the last statement is that the ungodly shall perish. Now that term is also used in the New Testament, John 3:16. Perish will be condemned, lost, ruined, entering eternal misery. The eternal destiny of lostness, separated from God forever. This past week I was eating in a restaurant where they were serving both Chinese and Japanese food, and at a table across from me, a lady was using chopsticks. Well, I've tried it a couple of times, and I have trouble eating with chopsticks. So I said to her, where did you learn to eat with chopsticks? She says, in Japan. I spent 5 years in Japan. I said, what was your assignment? She said, I was a school teacher, and now I'm here. I'm teaching Santa Ana School District and so on, and asked what her husband did, and I said, well, then, you're going to live and you'll serve your career and you'll get old and you'll die. I said, and then what? Well, she was taken aback a little bit and hadn't thought about that really. She said, well, I don't know, but I hope I'll be all right. I think I'll be all right. And we had further discussion, and I left her with the encouragement to read the Gospel of John to find out who Christ is and what eternal destiny is about. But just think, how many people are sailing through life refusing to think about the misery of hell? Now, the way of the godly. Verse 6, the first statement, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Christian will go the way of the Lord with eternal blessing, eternal favor with the Lord. Now, for us this morning, it must be clear what is the most desirable life. The godly man, what he refuses, what he chooses, what he experiences. And the fact is that human beings are born into the ungodly realm. So that unless something changes, we are delivered, transferred out of that realm into the godly realm, we face the eternal destiny of hell. We must be saved. We must be forgiven. We must be delivered. We must be changed. Now, hopefully that has occurred to us and for us by God's grace. Then living as a Christian, looking at this psalm, how do we apply it this morning? Well, first of all, we must be very alert. We must be very watchful. Jesus said, watch and pray. Be careful that you're not falling under the influence of ungodly counsel. The world is so deceived. And by and large, Christians are so deceived by false teaching. We must be very, very alert. Secondly, we must downright, outright, flat out refuse. Absolutely refuse. If that means cutting off the company of some ungodly, we must do it. I remember right after God saved me that he gave me the insight and ability to make a clean break. I didn't go back to my former life. I did not go back to my former friends. I was taken up with the new. And when there was opportunity to be with them, I refused. And I'm thankful for that. It wasn't my ability to do that, it was his gracious work. So we are alert and we refuse and we live in the power and strength of depending on the Word of God and being under its authority. And as far as company is concerned, we choose the right people. The worst mistake that young people make is choosing wrong friends. And we need to be careful as adults. Choose the right friends to be socially accompanied with. Friends that will be influential as an encouragement, as a helper. People with whom you can discuss the Lord in biblical doctrine. And sometimes I've been in the company of even some Christians for 2 or 3 hours, and they never want to talk about anything but trivial things. Now, I'm not including golf in that, because golf is not trivial, but I mean other things. That's a sad thing. I love to talk with people who want to talk about the Lord and the Bible and great doctrinal truth. They're hard to find, but they're around. Choose them as friends. Well, now may the Lord take this psalm, use it in our lives to meet the need of our life this hour, and to help us tell it to other people. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of Psalm 1, for using the author to declare the truth you wanted us to hear this morning. Now we have opened your word. We ask that you continually open our hearts and cause us to take the approach of dependence and authority, application and telling your word as we live on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.